So, Anatoly, welcome to Solana Breakpoint. I guess I'll start just by asking you how you're finding the conference. It's early days so far, but what are people talking about? What are you seeing?
It's awesome. Just like love the energy. So many people showed up. I don't know if folks remember first conference 2 years ago. There were, like five validators. Like that, it was like a very small, tight group, and it's amazing to see just how much has changed. Especially like going to the Hacker House and seeing all the devs just coding and building. Super fun. Love the energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see it too. I mean, if you said it's just the first day officially of the conference, but there's so many people here, it's really exciting to see. A step back, I guess, and talk about Solana just in the lead up to the conference. Obviously, we've seen some really big stories coming out. Recently, we've hit a big all-time high. And we've also seen $15 billion in DeFi on Solana as well. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that, some of the biggest improvements or biggest like moments that you've seen that have come through the last weeks and months, because it's been a pretty big year generally for you.
Yeah, what we kind of see is that during our hackathons, we see a new swarm of teams that are building new DeFi primitives and new products, and it takes them a few months to warm up. Some actually go from forming a team to finishing a hackathon and raising money and getting to like a billion TVL just in that time. But generally, it's a bit of a warm-up period, and then we see those products get to market and then get users, and those numbers grow. And it's just really showing that the ecosystem, especially the DeFi side, has its own legs. It's kind of running on its own.
Yeah, and I think that's broadly true. I think generally, whenever people speak about DeFi, it's become this sort of unique crypto subculture, I like to say. Do you think that that's like it? Do you think that within the Solana ecosystem, that's been a really big momentum shift for you guys? Do you think that the broader industry has actually really taken to DeFi? I mean, we had the DeFi summer. Do you think that that momentum is still ongoing?
For sure. I think what's interesting is that you have a different base layer for DeFi on Solana than on Ethereum, and that's Serum. So Serum is a central limit order book. It's a different way to trade from an AMM like Uniswap, and it has different participants, and the kind of applications that people are building are unique. You have to actually think through your new product and redesign it for something. Not only that you're porting, you're changing from Solidity to Rust, you have to now build on top of a totally different kind of financial primitive. And we've seen just that exercise be a source of innovation for a lot of teams.
And we mentioned Ethereum there as well. I'm sure you're sick of hearing it, but that, the phrase of Solana being an Ethereum killer, are you really tired of hearing that? Why do you think it's staying around?
The media loves the narrative, Like the reality is that like open source projects can't be killed because there's always somebody that's coding on it for fun over the weekend. And me as an engineer that, grew up in the 90s, I remember Microsoft being this like Linux killer, and they just didn't get it. There's no way you can actually stop an open source movement. So, I like to think that the best we can do for the Ethereum community is be like a formidable competitor in a true sense, right? Like we're trying to build from the ground up a different engine for censorship resistance, a different engine for DeFi. And that exploration of the space is, showing some results that I think are interesting for everyone to see.
Right, yeah, like a rising tide lifts all boats, as they say.
Exactly.
That makes sense. And you mentioned censorship resistance there. I was at one of your panels earlier today, you were talking about that at length as well. Tell me a little bit about that and why that's so much at the heart of what Solana does.
I think the core of scalability has to cut down to this like really, really layer one core component, which is the Nakamoto coefficient. How many nodes, how many different independent entities does it take to slow down information in the system? And if you maximize that, you have to maximize hardware. You have to build a really fast, high-performance chain. But when you do that, you also minimize the cost to users. You minimize the cost to run this network to everybody that is application developer, to everyone that is, just storing keys and like using DeFi. And I think that's an interesting thing. And I think it actually builds a fair, more open, decentralized marketplace that can, I think, in theory, disrupt things like ad exchanges at Google. Imagine a web without ads, right? That's possible only by extremely cheap marketplaces.
Yeah. And sticking on Solana's like recent progress as well over the last few months, in September, the outage that lasted, I think it was 17 hours.
17-hour block.
Yeah. So how did that like affect you? Was it? I can imagine it was a fairly stressful time. What did you learn from it? And can we expect that maybe to never happen again? Like, how does that work?
So the thing is that like the core of what decentralization provides is that as long as you have one independent party that is still running or still has a copy of the chain, then the chain can recover. So that's really, you know, if you think about Bitcoin, there's 12,000 nodes. If I snap my finger and I destroy all of them, the Bitcoin is gone. It's not the hash power, it's the actual copies of the state. So Solana is at around 2,000 of these copies. And when you have something like a liveness failure like that, the network doesn't just die, right? It just stalls. It's prevented from confirming new blocks because there's so much data to process. And the validator community on their own can come together and run the tools to basically recover from that state, as long as there's one of them that's still around. And in our case, what I saw was that out of those 2,000s, 80% showed up, like almost immediately. And that was really, really cool to see. It really means that we have a very large independent set of providers that are running this network, that are maintaining it, and it is effectively unstoppable.
Nice. And another thing I'd like to talk to you about as well is NFTs. Obviously, now we can get Solana NFTs on FTX's regulated marketplace. Tell me a little bit about that, your relationship with FTX as well, and then more broadly, just NFTs in general and how you've seen that sort of explode into the space.
So NFTs was really unpredictable in terms of how, like, the implementation of it. Like, I always felt that cryptography is a really core, interesting part about crypto in general. The fact that humans can now have, you know, consumer-grade cryptography, meaning that they can store a key and sign with it on a daily basis, that's never been possible before. PGP is a nightmare, right? Nobody uses that effectively. But because you now have value, right, people have figured out how to build these wallets, how to build ledgers, how to build the ops for normal humans. And with NFTs, it had just manifested itself into, like, anytime you have people coming together doing something anywhere, they start creating memes and culture. And it's just like, it's obvious. You know, I didn't expect there was going to be NFTs, but I kind of felt that there's a very deep social component to crypto. And I knew I'm not going to be able to predict what it looks like, but it's obvious in retrospect. Yeah, NFTs are it. And I'm really excited about, like, where this thing can go. Like, it really feels that, you know, when we get to 100 million users, you know, 1 billion users all using cryptography, it's going to be a deep part of that culture, right, of that shared experience. With FTX, those guys are just always moving, like, so fast that I can hardly keep track of them. So, you know, the legend of Serum was that I had a conversation with Sam and showed him Break, our like little app that demonstrates that you can slam the network with transactions. Showed it to his engineers, and they're like, okay, let's go build the exchange, the decentralized exchange that we wanted. And 4 weeks later, it was live. So they move really fast when they decide on something, even though they have like a legendary number of 6 engineers running everything. So with NFTs, I think they saw how quickly Solana NFT community is growing. Phantom is adding like 100,000 users a week, and mostly driven by NFTs. What people are there for is for fun, right? They want to have fun. And that's a huge opportunity, I think, for exchanges to move into this kind of generalized, you know, access point to DeFi, to decentralized exchanges, to NFTs, to like everything else that's going on in the space.
Would you say then, of course, you mentioned like the social impact of NFTs, would that really be the real crux of the momentum behind NFTs for you? Do you think it's maybe more being treated by people as an asset of sorts, or is it really about a sense of belonging to a community that takes precedence?
When I like jump into like the Monkey MBS Discord, like, and I see the kind of noise and like the engagement that people are having, the only other time I remember seeing stuff like this was in like bulletin boards in the 90s on the internet, like those early days where people were just figuring out how to use these systems. It really feels like that. It feels like early days, like with a new way to communicate, new way to have fun, to connect. And if it scales to a very large number, it's very unpredictable what that's going to look like. There's no way in the 90s I could have told you that you know, sending a photo that disappears is going to be worth like $500 billion, right? You would have laughed at me, like, what? It disappears? What does that mean?
It's true, it's true. It's counterintuitive when you think about it.
Right, yeah.
So I guess another just final question, really. You mentioned earlier today that, you know, during the conference, we're not really going to see a big roadmap for development in the future for Solana. But I'd like to ask you anyway, like, what's next? What can people expect to see coming out of the ecosystem what's in the pipeline?
Eating more glass, I think.
Eating more glass. And yeah. You mean just the pain of development, right?
The reason why, like, I as an engineer hate roadmaps is because it's really hard to predict anything beyond 2 weeks.
Right.
Like,
right.
If you're not going to land in the next 2 weeks, there's 50% chance it's ever going to get done. So, which is why I think, you know, like, we're very cautious about predicting anything, right? Like, but for us, I think in the community in general, it does feel like a downhill kind of, we're kind of skiing downhill now. Mm. And that's because the kind of changes that are happening to the network, they're all optimizations that are obvious. They're all making the network incrementally better. There's not a huge major release in the roadmap or anything like that. But every release just gets better, just gets faster. Every time validators update their hardware, there's more capacity, latencies get better. And that translates into folks like Phantom, like the NFT marketplace is just starting to look and feel more like Web2 applications.
Brilliant. Well, I think we're just about out of time. So with that,